Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. It's the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Twisted Tuesday has begun as the Major League Baseball playoffs have begun. Stop, stop, stop. He's already dead as a New York Yankees batter. The Cleveland Indians, 12-3, the final score. Gerrit Cole does what the New York Yankees pay him a ton of money to do, dominate. And that's exactly what he did. 13 strikeouts. And for the record, Gerrit Cole's prop was 8.5 strikeouts. He easily goes over the number. Meanwhile, Bieber gets blasted, and the New York Yankees are in control of a mini three-game set, up one game to none. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Twins, shocking developments. In Minnesota, the Twins lose another playoff game. Hard to believe, but the Minnesota Twins have now lost 17 consecutive playoff games. You know, that's almost impossible to do. That's really hard. Trust me. As somebody that picked a ton of losers today on the diamond, it's hard to be that incompetent. I congratulate myself, actually, for my horrible baseball picks, which means we got to run the table tomorrow, right? Oh, yeah, we will, baby. We will. We're going to run the table tomorrow. We're going to run the table tonight. We got a stack show this evening. Captain Yankee, George Kurtz, has to be happy after game one this evening. Kurtz is going to step up and in. Pete Annapolis finally will step up and in. We're going to talk about the NBA finals that are now less than 24 hours away. We're breaking it down. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in. It's a full house Twisted Tuesday here this evening as the Minnesota Twins lose. The Houston Astros had problems hitting Maeda early, but nevertheless, they cash in late. Minnesota beats himself with a late air. Polanco gives it away. 1-1 game gets blown open. Meanwhile, nothing's getting blown open when Lucas Giolito's on the hill. Like, this guy's like, you know, it's basically like a no-hitter every time he takes the mound. Perfect game through six innings, and the Chicago White Sox are now 15-0 against Southpaws. Major League Baseball playoffs off and running. We're breaking it down. Tampa wins the Stanley Cup, and they also beat the Toronto Blue Jays today. Countdown is on. Let's do this thing. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bid it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it. The were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage Late Night. I'm Morenci. Let's do this thing. It's the Twisted Tuesday. We got a full house here. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in a couple of moments. A little bit later on, George Kurtz will throw it down with us. Major League Baseball playoffs have begun. New York Yankees absolutely rolled the Cleveland Indians this evening. The Toronto Blue Jays had late opportunities versus the Tampa Rays. Bad situational hitting. You know, teams don't play small ball anymore. They can't manufacture runs. Everybody swings for the fences. People swing for the fences against Lucas Giolito. It doesn't matter. The guy's a badass. White Sox win. Oakland send Bassett to the hill to avoid elimination. And the Minnesota Twins have now lost 17 consecutive playoff games. That's hard to do. 17 freaking straight playoff games. So we'll get into some baseball a little bit later on. We've had a couple of days to digest the NBA Finals matchup. The money has come in on Miami. Slightly. I mean, you know, the number was 5. It's down to 4.5. And people have chipped away on Miami a little bit. And I was reading on ESPN, their gaming section. They were saying that basically, you know, most of the media pundits are picking the Lakers to win, but the bettors are all betting on the Miami Heat. You know, West Coast, people are going to bet on the Lakers. But for the most part, people are going to be pulling for the Heat. Let's bring in Pete Annapolis, going to be doing a series, RDS Television, former assistant, UMass Minutemen, knows Coach Calipari well, and I bring Coach Cal into this conversation. What, Coach Cal coaching? No, he isn't, but his fingerprints are all over this NBA Finals. Pete Annapolis steps up. What's up, Pete?
Hey, what's up, Gabe? How you doing?
Always a pleasure, Pete. Thanks for joining us. I know you're busy. Good night to get you on here the night before. So as I was talking about, the Kentucky connections run deep. So we know about Bam, obviously Kentucky. And this kid's really coming into his own, and he has an opportunity to become a star right now if he can win the finals, because if they win the finals, he's going to have to play well. You got Anthony Davis, Kentucky, of course. We got Tyler Hero, Kentucky. We got Rondo, Kentucky. You know, little known fact, although I know you know everything about everything. So, but for people tuning in, Frank Vogel was a student manager. Where? Kentucky, under Coach Calipari. Pat Riley. People unaware, Pat Riley played, right? We're going back a ways, Pete. But it's amazing. Kentucky. I mean, the Kentucky connections, and then you get into the Laker connections here and the Heat connections. You know, Shaquille O'Neal played for both teams, LeBron James, both teams, Pat Riley, the architect of the Miami Heat, former head coach of the great Los Angeles Lakers as well. There's a lot of great storylines here. And, oh, yeah, the Lakers are playing in honor of Kobe Bryant, who happened to pass away this year. We got a great finals, Pete.
No question about it. I mean, you ran that up so well. And I think, you know, Coach Cal is feeling good about himself like he always is. And he's got all his guys playing in the NBA bubble. And right now he's feeling even better because, you know, his former players are going to be star players. And specifically that big man matchup, if you want to call it, if you don't want to call it a center matchup, because, you know, Dwight Howard starts at center, or will Dwight Howard start at center in this series after Frank Vogel had McGee starting for most of the series. But, you know, Tubby Smith was a head coach at Kentucky too. He's the one who recruited, you know, Rajon Rondo and played for him. So people, you know, not too many shout outs to Tubby Smith, who won a national championship at University of Kentucky. And Coach Cal, with all those all Americans and all those kids, has only won one national title, and you know he wants to win a couple more. But listen, you know, the key in this series, obviously, the Lakers have played three teams that really were offensive teams in Portland, in Houston, and in Denver. They're finally going to play a team that really locks you up defensively. And they do that because they play an incredible matchup zone. They could switch everything up. They can get on shooters. They force you on the outside. And then when you try and drive inside, you got that man in the middle, Bam Adebayo. That changes everything. So I think that's going to be fascinating in this series in terms of, can the Lakers score against this Miami defense and this Miami zone defense? We saw the Celtics really struggle against that zone, especially with all those perimeter guards or perimeter wing players in Brown, Tatum, and Kemba, and Marcus Smart. Oh, my God, Marcus Smart taking 22 shots in Game 6, 13 three-pointers. I would have liked those other guys taking more shots than Marcus, even though I love Marcus. But at the end of the day, Can the ball move for Miami Heat? Can the ball really hit different type of players and make big shots? You know, Miami is a team that has 8 scorers, Gabe. The Denver Nuggets only had 4 guys that could score consistently. Jokic, Murray, Morris, and the fourth one was Jeremy Grant. Good call. The Miami Heat, they got 8 guys. The only guy that can't really score is Solomon Hill. So look for that. They're going to get guys that could score, that can match up the Lakers offensively as well. The Lakers are the favorite, Gabe. They are. They got the 2 best players in the series. Davis is the best player in the series. It's not LeBron, even though the narrative says it's LeBron. But, you know, the Heat right now, wow. The smart money would be like, hey, if they get game 1, watch out, that he can make some damage.
Yeah, I like just as you stated, the Heat get contributions from different players on a different night. And, you know, if you're going to win a championship, you're going to have to do that. One thing I find interesting about Adebayo here is the fact, as you mentioned, he had his way with Boston. Boston didn't have an answer for it. It was almost as though Brad Stevens just sort of conceded and said, all right. And it was ridiculous, actually, that he didn't, you know, try to do something. I guess he just figured we can't stop it. We'll just live with it and we'll try to deal with it. The Lakers do have the bodies. I'm curious. Vogel's done a nice job of mixing and matching. He's been a real counterpuncher, Pete, throughout the playoffs, right? All right, I'm going small against Houston. I'm going big against Denver here. What are you expecting against Miami? Like, what's the rotation going to be? What are you expecting from Vogel here?
Well, I think, you know, he has those 2 players inside with McGee and Dwight Howard. They're interchangeable. They bring athleticism. They bring shot blocking. And they bring offensive rebounding and second chance opportunities. And they get to play Davis at the 4, which Davis likes to play. But in the fourth quarter, he's going to see how, you know, Adebayo does, right? They're going to throw those 3 guys at him. You know, we know that Jokic was an offensive threat. Bam is underrated offensively, but doesn't always look for a shot on the offensive end. So how is Bam going to adjust to having the pressure of having to score inside, but having to score inside against 3 really big guys who are elite defenders? So I think Vogel will start again with the big lineup. Davis will be at the 4, but then he'll see how they're doing in terms of, 1, how they guard the Miami Heat, and 2, can they really, you know, insulate Davis as a primary scorer, whether inside with a smaller lineup or probably with the jumbo bigger lineup. I think the Lakers, one thing they love to do is on any type of misses or even on makes, as we saw against Denver, they're sprinting out in transition, specifically with LeBron having the ball in his hands and just pushing. If LeBron is in attack mode and wants to score a little bit more than facilitate, Lakers are going to be almost impossible to beat because nobody's stopping a 6'8", 260-pound LeBron. But if LeBron just wants to really, you know, dish it out and just look for Caldwell Pope and Danny Green and Caruso on the perimeter, I think this plays into Miami's hands. But with that zone, the ball, there's going to be a lot of perimeter shots. But Vogel's going to see how Miami decides to play in terms of, can they score and match up and keep pace with the Lakers. He'll make the adjustment if he needs to go small with Davis.
LeBron James, when asked about playing against the Miami Heat, he said there's nothing extra special about it. And, okay, LeBron. Says the guy that didn't return Pat Riley's text message congratulating you after you won the NBA Finals in 2016. Pretty cold. Like, for people that don't realize, Pete, I know you and I talked about it. Remember the Shabazz Napier story? LeBron, you know, you better draft Shabazz Napier. And he does, and LeBron leaves. But, yeah, they don't like each other. And, yeah, LeBron saying it's not extra. Sports Rage continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
$100 to $100.
Stop. Hey, wait a second. What are you doing? You're not betting. You know he's not supposed to bet.
Come on, Jerry. It's a lock.
Kramer, you've had this thing under control for almost 3 years now. Don't start again.
But it's a lock.
No.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Quickest 120 minutes in sports. Bring it. As Major League Baseball postseason has begun, we're going to run through the gauntlet. We're going to get into every baseball game. We've got 8 baseball games tomorrow, but of course the NBA Finals tip off. We've got Pete Annapolis with us right now, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen in the old days, and RDS television analyst. We bring in Steve Merrill right now, ProSportsInfo.com, Wager Talk TV. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, guys, doing well.
So, as Dave, we're breaking it down right now. We're just talking about this from a matchup perspective. And, you know, I'll throw it to you, Pete, here first. So, LeBron James, as you talk about, when LeBron's aggressive, it's impossible to beat him. And, you know, you almost hope that he isn't. And sometimes he isn't. I don't know. He becomes passive-aggressive at times. But this Kobe thing is really driving them. And, you know, I have a feeling now, and I brought it up earlier, Steve, we were talking in the first segment about LeBron being in Miami, and it didn't end on good terms. So basically LeBron said, he goes, yeah, he goes, some of the people in Miami told me I was making the biggest mistake of my life when I told them I was going back to Cleveland. And those people are Pat Riley. And I guess Riley, like, told him, you're going to regret this for the rest of your life. You know, you're giving up a dynasty. So he won in Cleveland. Pat Riley texted him right after they won the championship that night against the Warriors. LeBron never responded to the text even. So you know, it's there. It's that deep. So LeBron talking about how this is just another series. Yeah, as if. You know, you got the Kobe. They're driven by Kobe. He doesn't like Riley. It's a chance to beat, just to prove his greatness by saying, hey, look, I just beat another team that I propped up before, et cetera. There's a lot on the line here, but what about Jimmy Butler? Like, who's going to match up? We got Iguodala, but I'm imagining Jimmy Butler gets a heavy dose of LeBron, right? And, you know, we can talk about Bam and you know, Goran Dragic is a guy we didn't bring up that's a key to this. But Jimmy B gets a lot of pub, Pete. Time for him to back it up right now as well. You know what I mean? He was good against Boston, but he's got to be better. And, you know, the fact is, Bam carried them in that series. Tyler Hero stepped up. Robinson stepped up. Butler's played well, but now this is it. If Butler really wants to be a badass and a legend, you know, shut LeBron down. What's your take on Jimmy Butler, Pete?
No, you're right. And I remember Pat Riley saying that, hey, in life, there's adversity that hits, and you got to be a man, and you got to overcome that adversity. So there are definitely shots at LeBron that were fired back then.
Oh, yeah, and we should note, sorry, Pete, let me just throw in the ultimate shot when he said, when the Miami Heat were kind of playing okay after, he said, well, it's nice to have guys on the team that don't have fake smiles and hidden agendas. Yeah, like, who is that about? Chris Bosh? I don't think so. So, sorry, Pete, I just had to throw, like, yeah. And LeBron knows everything. LeBron knows what we're saying about him. All right. Like the guy, you know, this is what drives him. That's what drives the greats. So yeah, there's no love lost there, but what about Jimmy Butler and LeBron's matchup?
Yeah, no, it's the time for Jimmy Butler to really showcase what he could do at the ultimate stage. I think he's gained so much respect right now. I think you're either on the Jimmy Butler old school camp, or you're in the new school and you're like, he's too tough, and you know, you're Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. But I think Butler's gotten the respect of the league because he does it on both ways. He leads by example. And have you seen in the post games, you know, he's wearing Hero's jersey. He's wearing Foster's jersey. The guys absolutely love Jimmy Butler. I hope he's 100%. He didn't have the greatest series against Boston, but I think he's going to have to showcase more on the offensive end, because against the Lakers, you cannot go 5, 6, or 7 possessions without scoring. They're going to kill you. They need Butler's offense in this series. I think defensively, he's going to match up on LeBron. He's going to try and disrupt him. He's going to try and make LeBron shoot over him and pass over the defense. But I think you're going to see a good dose of Jimmy Butler. You're going to see some Jay Crowder on LeBron James. And you're going to see the ultimate, you know, LeBron James, you know, defender in the playoffs or the NBA Finals, Andre Iguodala. 6 straight finals appearances for Andre. What a pickup by Riley. Nobody really thought Andre would make that much of a difference with the 5th seed. The Miami Heat make it to the finals. But there you go. 4 for 4 from 3, 15 points for Andre in the ultimate matchup. But as I said earlier, you're going to see a high dosage of zone by Miami. So LeBron's going to have to really try and dissect that zone defense with different multiple defenders, like every team tries to do. You're not going to stop LeBron. Just hope you can slow him down.
Andre Iguodala, the new Robert Horry. So, Steve, FanDuel has the Los Angeles Lakers -360. The Miami Heat +260 right now. What's your take on the series, Pete? And Steve, what's your take, Steve, on how this is going to play out? How much of a chance are you giving the Miami Heat in this series, Steve?
Yeah, odds have dropped a little bit, guys. It was 77% a couple days ago. Now it's 75% based on the variety of sports books out there. They have the series price. So it's come down a little bit. I thought 77% seemed a little high, especially in the bubble league that we're playing in right now. You know, anything is possible. We saw the Nuggets come back. First time in NBA history, 1-3 deficits, overcome that in 2 straight series. But I think 75%, the Lakers should be favored here. They're the better team. They're about 8 games better on the season overall record. Pete brings up a good point about Butler, though, and I like what he said. You know, he didn't play that great against Boston, and they still win that series rather easily. Oh, not easily. I mean, they were down double digits basically every game, and I know because I had the Celtics in many of those games, minus 2 to 3 points. But the Heat still won the game in 6, you know, 6 games overall, won 4 out of 6. And that's because other guys stepped up, like Hero, like Bam, these young guys out of Kentucky. You just wonder, though, guys, I know they've been playing a lot of playoff games. They've played a lot of bubble games. But we saw it tonight in the baseball playoffs. The Astros, who were much weaker all season, beat the Twins. The Yankees, who are weaker overall this year than the Indians, smoked the Indians. And Bieber, been the best pitcher in baseball, gets lit up. Miami's never been in the championship stage with these guys. The Lakers haven't exactly either, but LeBron has. I just wonder how much of a difference that'll make in game one, at least.
That's a good point. And, you know, actually, if you add it up, it's the one thing we all know, Pete, and it's a good point by Steve, that LeBron doesn't like young guys, right? Kuzma made the cut. He was the guy that got to stay. He likes veterans that have been there before. Anthony Davis hasn't, but people often wonder, Pete, why is Danny Green on the floor? Why is Danny Green on the floor? So tell us, why is Danny Green on the floor? Because he's responsible defensively. He's going to be in the right place. Every now and then he'll hit that shot, but it's just a trust factor, isn't it, that LeBron trusts him, right? LeBron trusts him. But you look, Rondo's been there, done that. Danny Green's been in big spots, done it. LeBron's been there in big spots and done it. J.R. Smith on the bench. So you go down the list. They've got some guys, Pete, that have won before. And I know that Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and these kids have had ice in their veins, but will they? You're right. You get to the finals, but I don't know. I think in the bubble, it takes a little of the nerves away, I think. It's not the same. Like, if you're Tyler Hero, imagine, Stephen, Pete, you're Duncan Robinson, man. This is game one of the NBA Finals, and you're at the Staples Center, and they're honoring Kobe, and everyone's there, and, like, it's over the top. They're comfortable. They're 12-3 in the playoffs. What do you make of the experience factor here, Pete?
Well, I love what Steve said. You know, this is the bubble, right? Things have changed. There's no home court advantage, and there's no higher home court advantage more than the NBA. I mean, it's hard to win on the road in the NBA, specifically in the playoffs. So I think this gives Miami a better shot. But I think we have to start respecting what Miami did. I mean, they totally, you know, dethroned the Milwaukee Bucks in 5 games, who had the best record in the NBA for the whole season, probably for the last 2 years. You know, the Celtics Yeah, they could have finished that in five. They won in six, and they swept a pretty good Indiana team. So I think you got to start respecting what Miami could do. They don't have that go-to guy who's that natural scorer. I think Jimmy Butler could put up points, but he's not that natural, effective, pure scorer. We saw the Raptors win last year with the ball being moved a lot and then Kawhi taking those big shots. What can Miami do here in the finals? Could Jimmy be that Kawhi in this series? I think he's going to have to. But when you look at, the Lakers, they got the two best players in the series. And I think when you look at that, if they're going to play to their potential, which I believe they will, it's going to be hard to beat. But those veteran guys, I questioned them at the beginning of the bubble, the Carusos, the Danny Greens, the Caldwell Popes. You know, if they're going to shoot 35 to 40%, the Lakers are going to be hard to beat. They got better as the playoff round started winning for the Lakers. So I think, Rondo completely changed the dynamic of this team because he alleviated LeBron James from being that point guard for 48 minutes, always bringing up the ball, always micromanaging every position on the offensive end. Now you got Rondo pushing the pace and really facilitating and looking for Davis a little bit more. It allows Davis to score and allows LeBron to be in that attack mode as well. So if the Lakers are clicking on all cylinders, they're going to be tough to beat. I think Miami's going to have to really shoot the three ball really well in this series, especially the first game. If Miami could take this one, then I think Steve's 75% will drop a little bit more. But it's going to be tough because the Lakers have it all.
Sounds like you're both picking the Lakers. Steve, uphill battle for the Miami Heat here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, I'm not necessarily picking. I think game one, probably favors them just because LeBron has the experience. Rondo is another guy I wanted to mention. Hey, by the way, talking about how crazy the bubble season's been, this is the first time in NBA Finals history that neither team was in the playoffs the year before.
Yeah.
That shows you what we're dealing with. I think Miami has probably better than a 25% chance.
And the Heat are the lowest seed to make the finals since the Knicks in 1999. As a five seed. No, it didn't, actually. That's a good point. But these are different. And that was a shortened season, too.
The
Knicks beat Miami, who were the one seed with Alonzo and Tim Hardaway. And three-roll hit. Allen Houston hit the game-winning runner in Miami.
That was the series when everyone got suspended in alphabetical order. That was the coolest thing ever, in which every player left the bench area. And David Stern, may rest in peace, he didn't play around, guys. So they were like, well, what are you guys going to do? We all left the bench. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to suspend all of you. We're going in alphabetical order. And they went in alphabetical order. And everyone was like, oh, my God, Ewing's out. All right, Houston's in, Ewing's out, Mourning's in. This guy's out. Steve, you had to break it down by the alphabet. All right, hang in here, Pete. We'll let you go on the other side here, Pete. I just want to get your MVP prediction. Sports Rage Late Night continues with Merrill and Pete Annapolis.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without Rage Hall.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill. Wager Talk in the house. Pete Annapolis, RDS Television, former assistant coach of the UMass Minutemen. We'll get Pete out of here in a minute. All right, guys. So the MVP angle is always interesting. NBA Finals MVP, the favorite, LeBron James, -165. Anthony Davis, +300. Jimmy Butler, +750. Bam Adebayo. And you like that, Steve? Not bad, huh? How to rattle that off? No problems? Adebayo? Bam Adebayo? But 9-1. And, Pete, there's something like we always talk about this, like in the Super Bowl. Like, basically, so if you like a good example is years ago, Pete, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl MVP is always the quarterback, all right? Like 8 out of 10 times going to be the quarterback. So basically it was like, all right, if the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win, Nick Foles has to play well. And if Nick Foles plays well and they win, he'll be the MVP. And like he was like 5-6 to 1 to be the Super Bowl MVP, but the Philadelphia Eagles were only like 2 to 1 to win the game. So, you know, so Pete, from a gambler's perspective, we look at it like, all right, so if this team's going to win, who's going to be the guy, the reason that they win? Is it automatic? LeBron didn't get the regular season MVP. Does he get the finals MVP, or is it Anthony Davis that lights it up and then AD, you know, becomes into his own by being an NBA Finals MVP? And to me, and if it's Miami, I think it's Bam. I think, listen, Bam was great. The media's starting to buy into this kid's story. If he outduels Anthony Davis, this kid will be the MVP, and he's 9-1. Pete, who's the MVP of the series?
Well, if you look at the previous series, right, you know, Anthony Davis, 31 points per game, shooting over 50% from the field. But yet, everybody just talks about that one great game that LeBron had in the last one, right, in Game 5. So the narrative is there. The narrative is clear. You know, the voters, again, there's not that many voters in the finals. I know the great Hubie Brown last year voted for Fred VanVleet over Kawhi Leonard. So I think they're gonna get it right. You know, but it's going to be hard for Davis unless he's just spectacular and LeBron has a couple of awful games, then LeBron's going to win the MVP for the Lakers side. That's for sure if they win. I think Bam has to prove that he could score against Davis, Howard, and McGee enough to really get those votes and become that MVP. I think that he's the most important player in the series. But I think that if the Miami Heat are going to win, you're going to have to see the best we've ever seen of Jimmy Butler. And that's why I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler if the Heat pull off this upset. And the one guy that already has the Finals MVP on that roster in 2015, Andre Iguodala. Yeah.
100-1.
Let's not forget about him. I don't think you'll get a second one, but it just shows how bad or awful Steph Curry was in that series not to win the MVP with the narrative of him being that best player in that best.
Pete, Annapolis. Pete, we'll let you go. I know you got to rest your pipes, all right? NBA Finals. My voice
care,
already
Pete,
sounds
care,
like shot. Yeah, always a pleasure, Pete. Thanks for the time, buddy. So, Steve, MVP, interesting conversation here. Anthony Davis has been the best player, bro. But how much is LeBron bitching about not winning the regular season MVP? But hey, you've watched every game. You've been doing the NBA show daily. AD's been the best player for the Lakers, bro. What do you think about the MVP picture? And is it, you know, Pete raised a good point. Jimmy Butler's the media guy, right? But Bam's been a badass. What do you make of the MVP picture, Steve?
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to bring up Iguodala. So Pete, being the basketball insider he is, beat me to it. He's 100-1 at FanDuel, but at one of the offshores, I see him at 300-1 right now. So if you want a nice little payday, shop around on that one. He's not getting enough minutes. So Hero, with the great way he's been playing, has been getting even more minutes off the bench. But the problem with a guy like Hero is that he's not going to have enough good games.
If he went off,
that's
like
my
somehow.
Sleeper. Man, you guys are too sharp.
Oh,
that was
really?
The guy, Gabe. That's what I was going to mention. Yeah. You guys are beating me to it here. I was going to say, you know, Iguodala kind of kidding around, but Dragic at 20-1. Offshore, I see him at 25-1 right now. They're going to need somebody else to step up if they win this, and he's capable of having several good games. Hero's coming off the bench. You know, he had the 37, he had the 14, the 17, whatever. But yeah, Dragic's a guy I think realistically could be a sleeper. And Butler, you know, he does a lot of stuff, but I think there's some value at 20-25-1 at Dragic. He could be the Iguodala of this series. That would be the analogy I was kind of leading up to with Iguodala. But by the way, Anthony Davis is the best player on that team for the Lakers. But LeBron, you know, we saw him buckle down midway fourth quarter in game 4 against Jamal Murray and really shut him down. And he also got a lot of calls from the officials. But at minus money, I'm not sure there's a lot of value there. I think there's probably more value at Anthony Davis at 3-1 because I think both of them could win the MVP.
So, Steve, you know what? I want to be the hero, pardon the pun, and come in here saying about how the Heat could knock him off and stuff. But I realize how tough it is. I'm going to be looking to just play this game by game. I'll be looking to play game by game. And for the record, I threw it out there. I'm always fascinated, Steve, by the cities, right? Like the double championship perspective of it. hey, the city of Los Angeles has a legitimate chance, Steve, of winning the World Series and the NBA championship here. Lakers and Dodgers. And for the record, the Lakers-Dodgers parlay is plus 472. What's your take on that?
Interesting, Gabe. I didn't know there was actually a line out there, but I was going to crunch the numbers real fast because, as you know, I've said the true odds right now are 75% will let you parlay. For the Lakers.
Any book will let you parlay it. So basically, you just play both futures.
You're parlaying the two future odds. It went like plus 350
or so. It's not an exotic prop. It's not an exotic prop, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Plus 350 Dodgers, minus 360 Lakers turns into plus 472.
Okay, let's say the true odds are probably like, you know, 350, yes, say minus 550, no. So 450 is probably the true odds for the Dodgers. That's 18%. So 18% times 75% is 13.5%. That works out to approximately 7.5 to 1. So you need to get about plus 740 to be exact. So you need plus 740 are the true odds.
They're not doing that, Steve. Not even in Macau.
Not anywhere close. What'd you say, 4 something?
Plus 472.
I'm making the draw like plus 700 or better.
Or, you know what? The Tampa Bay Lightning just won the Stanley Cup. So, you know, we could add the Tampa parlay. All right, Steve, I want to blast through the baseball, but it'd be remiss of me not to bring up the two old men that argued in line at Dunkin' Donuts all night tonight. Listen, I was watching games. Like a real degenerate that I am, I had money. The baseball game was pissing me off, so I had money on the WNBA game, and I actually hit it plus 155 on a money line. It took the Las Vegas Aces to come back. They were down by 6 at the half. I got them at plus 155 on a money line, and they came back and won. I don't know. Like, you know, we're looking at sort of at the international markets, and there was a little bit of a swing to Biden internationally, but people watch this stuff internationally and it doesn't change. Like, you know, honestly, like Biden and Trump, either one of them really could have whipped it out and leaked on the podium and their voters are going to vote the same way, Steve. I don't know. I think it was just a big waste of time, wasn't it? What's your take? And if anything,
it was
probably a low point, Steve. Let's just be real. Like, it's so bad that the debate commission saying, yeah, I don't think we're going to have any more debates. Like, there's no point.
Well, I mean, that's bad news for Trump because I thought he blew an opportunity to do better tonight. He interrupted a lot. He kind of bullied a lot. And the one thing is, you got to keep in mind, Gabe, the far left is not voting for Trump. The far right is not voting for Biden. What's going to decide this election, as I keep saying, are the moderate, undecided, independent voters. They don't like the nicking and knacking and the yelling and the interrupting. And the one knock on Trump more than anything is that he's kind of a bull and he's arrogant. So if you're an undecided voter, you don't like seeing that. So he made a serious mistake tonight by doing that. Plus, you want Biden to talk. The more Biden talks, the more likely he is to put his foot in his mouth. So I thought Trump really botched a good attempt tonight. So having no more debates would help Biden. And yes, he has gone from 54% pre-debate to now 58% of the betting markets across the world. And minus 130, now minus 150 on the offshores. So basically, it was an eventless debate. And because of that, Biden's odds have gone up because a lot of it was priced in that he would explode tonight and come out senile, and he didn't do that. From him, but I blame Trump partially for that.
I thought Trump blew
a real good opportunity to expose him tonight, and he didn't do it.
If he talks over, the guy's not going to thing up. And, yeah, listen, I'm not a political science major here, but as you stated, it's a good point. Everyone's locked in anyways. So you have the undecideds or suburban women and housewives and stuff that you know, maybe voted one way or the other last time. They're going to think about going another way. And I don't know if mocking someone's son for being dead and having a drug problem is the best way to win votes, Steve. I'm just saying. Like, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I guess you get a laugh. You're throwing some red meat out there. But, like, I think, listen, the whole thing, I was just curious from a wagering perspective to see what the perception is. But for me, I couldn't take much of it. It gave me a headache. I was like, oh, God. Like, I tuned in. I was like, all right, let's just see what's going on here. I tuned in for a couple of minutes. I was like, this is going nowhere fast. And I got money on a WNBA game. So let me get back to the basketball. So, Steve, we've got Major League Baseball all day. And history really repeated itself today. Chicago White Sox were 14-0 against Southpaws. Now they're 15-0. Minnesota Twins have lost 16 consecutive playoff games, make it 17. Let's go rapid fire through the baseball. Atlanta Braves, Cincinnati Reds. Reds were one of the hottest teams down the stretch. They got a great pitching sequence set up here. They got Bauer going in game one. They're underdogs. What's your take on that one?
Yeah, my two sleepers for the last couple months that I've talked on First Pitch. By the way, Andrew McGinnis, the host of First Pitch, is in the chat tonight, giving us some love there. So Andrew does a great job. I was on the show today with him,
KBO
Brian
specialist,
Leonard, and Dave Koken, and we talked about. Yeah, and he is NHL, but he's 6'6". He only played basketball growing up. Canadian that played basketball and not hockey. You got to love it. But he does a great job on baseball, hockey, basketball.
Right, you know what? You watch the NBA. Half the NBA is Canadian now.
That's right. That is true. That is true. Half of them are
Jamal
in the Kentucky.
Murray.
The other half's Kentucky, I think.
Jamal Murray? Yeah, right. Yeah. Went to Kentucky, actually,
guy.
Too. Yeah, Kentucky. Yeah, Jamal
Kentucky,
Murray, Canadian
Kentucky,
and
Canadian.
Kentucky. Exactly. He's
Canadian,
he's the modern player.
Kentucky bourbon.
He's the modern player. Well, Gilgeous Alexander, too. Isn't Gilgeous Alexander Kentucky? He's another Canadian. Yeah, Calipari.
The Nets' newest head coach, Steve Nash.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you, it's an invasion. They were the
damn league.
Exactly. They suck at hockey now, Steve. It's backwards.
Canadian lives matter.
They suck at hockey now.
Enough with the debate part, so. We didn't get controversial enough the debate segment, so I got to do it now. It's going to be Canadian Lives Matter in the NBA pretty soon.
Yeah, don't piss off. Come on, don't piss off Canada Thursday. I got enough problems. We already upset. Well, it's all good. I'm sorry. All right, Steve, I upset.
Anyway, this is
on
all
Twitter.
Andrew's fault because I gave him props for being in the chat room. See how sideways we went here? You asked me about the Reds, and now I'm talking about Canadian basketball players. But no, on a serious note, for the last month or so, First Pitch, I told Andrew and the other guys, I go, my two sleepers are the Indians and the Reds, because they're not good offensively, but they have some great pitching staffs that are really dangerous in a 3 or 5 game series. And I said that last year with the Nationals. We saw what happened to the Indians tonight. They're in some trouble. So the Reds are my one team left here that could be a sleeper. But I like that pitching staff that they get through this first round.
I like the Cubs tomorrow, too. Cubs sending Hendricks to the hill. White Sox. We got a couple more minutes with Steve after the break here. But yeah, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, I upset people on Twitter because I was bitching about a bad beat. And I said, you know, there's another BLM. Bettors Lives Matter. I was talking about sports bettors, and people got real upset fast.
I like that.
Another funny to joke about with BLM. I was like, bettors lives matter too. They do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Get on the grid. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, including SoCal, the Mightier 1090, Steve Merrill kicking it with us, Wager Talk, ProSportsInfo.com. All right, Steve, we've only got a couple of minutes. Let's blast through to baseball. We were talking about the Reds. You said that's the trendy team. It's funny, the White Sox were the trendy team. They didn't play well down the stretch. They played well today. Giolito was a stud. The Reds were real hot down the stretch. The Braves are a little bit beat up right now. The Reds have the lowest batting average in the National League against the explosive offense, but they got a pitching matchup. Money's coming in on the Reds. It was plus 118. I see it's down to plus 112 right now. Marlins and Cubs, that should be fun, but I think Hendricks is the play there, guys. Steve, the White Sox got it done today with Giolito, but they were 14-0 against Southpaws. Bassett's not a Southpaw tomorrow. I'm thinking Oakland stay alive tomorrow. What's your take on the Sox and the A's?
Yeah, we talked about this on First Pitch today, and Dave Koken and I both pointed out that the Athletics only played 6 games of their 60 this year against teams above 500. This is only the 7th time in 61 games this season they played an above 500 team. Their only games came against the Dodgers and Padres because they only played the West. They didn't play any of the AL East or Central, which made up six of the other seven playoff teams. Oakland lost Chapman a few weeks ago, their star third baseman. They went just 8-11 down the stretch, now 8-12. I think this Oakland team is overrated. I actually gave the White Sox at Pick'em out as a series play on First Pitch Day on that TV show. I don't know about tomorrow, but I think the White Sox have won this series with that win today.
Blake Snell was nasty today. But once he was out of the game, the Jays had their opportunities. I think the Jays will be more comfortable tomorrow now that they've got a playoff game under their belt. They got Ryu going for them. You know, the odds makers agree. I mean, they're not, you're only getting plus 124 right now. But the thing is, Glasnow is real good too, Steve. What's your take on the Jays and the Rays? We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, the White Sox and the Rays both came in plus 60 run differential for the season, which was third best in baseball, tied with the Atlanta Braves. So this is a very good Tampa team, and that's another reason I like Chicago. You know, Gabe, I think a lot of these teams might bounce back and get game two. It wouldn't shock me, but it's a real uphill battle for teams like Oakland and Toronto that have to win two straight now against probably better teams.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, Wager Talk. Level two coming up. Bring it.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.